Howdy, howdy, everybody. Welcome, one and all, to the Question Block. This is Nintendo Oki's video game trivia podcast where, you know, Tony has an intro that he usually says here, but I'll be honest, I've never been completely happy with it. I know what it is. I can say it right now. You know, this is a video game. Nintendo Oki's video game. Nintendo Oki's video game. No, does he say video game? Does he say? Okay, I gotta start over. Well, howdy, howdy, everybody. Welcome to the Question Block. This is Nintendo Oki's video game trivia show where we ask you 9 questions, talk about the answers, and then put somebody in the hot seat. Yeah, that's what he says. I don't. You know, maybe that's why he says it, because it's kind of hard to come up with another intro. So, what is it, like a minute into the show, I haven't even said who I am yet? I'm Shelby, if you haven't figured it out by now. I'm totally not Tony. Not even close to being Tony. Man, if I was Tony, this would be a way better intro. Remember how the Oki cast this week was like a train wreck? Well, you can expect the same thing here, because Tony still doesn't have any internet. But I am not flying solo, thankfully. With me on this train wreck of a podcast, Matt Damon has nothing on this Goodwill Hunter. I introduce to you Shannon Reifenberg. Shannon, say hello.
Hello, everybody. I'm ready to do this. Let's get it done. Ask some questions.
So were you just like facepalm, shaking your head the whole time? I'm like just stumbling over myself through an intro.
Dude, it's all good. Just wing it. You got this.
Yeah, that's what you guys kept saying during the Oki cast, but it didn't really go that well. But anyway, this is where we ask trivia. So no Tony, but, you know, we're going to put together a show. We're going to do our best, and we're going to try to continue forward. There's probably a more graceful way to say that, like dredge on, but I think dredging is what you do when you're trying to get something like off of a bed of like a lake or something like that. And I don't even know why it's called the lake of a bed. I mean, fish don't really sleep on it. I mean, they just sleep. Do fish sleep swimming? Fish sleep swimming. No, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. So, you know what? We're just going to roll right into the trivia and start asking the questions.
Round one.
So, this round is the music round. As it has been, and as far as I'm concerned, as it always will be. So, this week, we're going to play some music for the music round. Imagine that. I make that joke so often, it's never really funny. It's never funny. You listen to the show, Shannon, that joke is never funny.
You are the king of puns that don't really pun.
That's not even a pun, it's just like a reference I make too often. I don't know. It's really annoying. It's really annoying when I make that thing. But, segue, this week, the round music is annoying music. You see what I did there? I brought it around.
Bravo,
it was a catastrophe, but then it flipped over to where it was a good thing, but then it kind of, like, still kind of had enough momentum to flip again, and now it's, like, back on being catastrophe. It's like a car flip. You're like, it's not going to flip again, but it flips, like, 2 more times.
It was a catastrophe like a cat, man. They never land on their back. Always land on your feet.
I don't know how they do it, but he's right. Like, toast always lands on the jelly. Cats always land on their feet. So what if you put jelly on the feet or on the back of a cat? What happens?
You end up with one really mad cat.
Please don't try this at home, people. Nintendo Oki does not promote or condone the putting of jelly on cats.
Gosh.
That's a weird thing to do. All right. So these are all songs from games that I like. These are games that I like, but these songs annoy me for one reason or another. So, you know, you play a game sometimes, the music kind of grinds on you. Well, that's what these are. So we're going to start off right here with question one right now.
We'll be right back.
So, I don't know if you heard that just now, Shannon, but that's kind of not really a song.
No, that's just funky industrial noises that just makes you want to tear your fingernails off.
Yeah, exactly. This is like what would happen if you walked into an automotive plant that was, like, you know, run by robots, like robots assembling cars, but all the robots are, like, turned at 90 degrees. So instead of, like, welding a fender to a body, a robot's, like, welding, you know, the door to a vending machine or something. Which
welding
I don't know.
A fender to another fender.
Exactly,
another
yeah.
Fender.
And while we're on the topic, why are there vending machines in a shop that's nothing but robots? Don't really know. It seems kind of weird. I don't know why a robot would take a break and why we want a Pepsi. But, yeah, I guess maybe robots like soda, too.
Gosh.
But this is from a game that I've played quite a bit, and honestly, like 90% of the music in this game is really terrible. This game is Tekken Tag Tournament. Very alliterative title.
Very fond of the Tekken franchise.
You know, I am too, and, you know, I can't necessarily verify this or not, but I have heard that Tekken is the greatest selling fighting franchise of all time, so, you know, take that as you will. Have it from a very reliable source that is true.
So back of box art is reliable?
You know, why would they lie to me?
To sell you a game?
Well, I mean, they didn't need to say that to sell me a game. I was already going to buy it because, you know, I'm kind of a foolish person when it comes to... I own Tekken Tag 2. Still haven't played it. Haven't
it got
touched
its it. Use. It got its use, and it was good to watch. A lot of people enjoyed it.
Yeah. I honestly, I don't even remember even seeing it. I think I was too busy cooking stuff to even see it getting played. But, you know, someday I'd like to play. I still want to go back and play some more DOA 5. That game's really good. I kind of want to write a review for it, but I haven't played enough to do that. I don't know. I don't have time. But yeah, Tekken Tag Tournament. Not really that great of music. So we're going to move on. Move on to question two. Song two. I'm going to play that for you right now. So this song right here, Shannon, is a song that I actually like, kind of after the fact, but while I was playing this game, it really just kind of grated on my nerves, because if you didn't hear, the first 35 seconds or so are just pretty much the same thing, just da 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 da.
Yeah, it's got a pretty bad intro.
Yeah, it's too long. It's an okay intro, it's just too long. It just goes on and on. And the thing is, this plays on the game when you are in the map screen moving around during a particular time of year. So the thing is, like, I will leave the building, and I'll be out on the map screen. And by the time I get to where I'm going, the intro's still going, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So that's all I ever heard of the song. And I'm like, man, that's really annoying.
I can definitely agree. I had the same experience playing a different version of this game, but yeah.
And the game we're speaking of is Persona 3. Now, I believe me and you are both of us played Fez. So,
yes,
but
sir.
This is in, I'm pretty sure this is in all versions of Persona 3, whether it be P3P, just P3 or P3 Fez. So, yeah, changing of the seasons. Like I say, good song, and I really love the Persona music, but just that intro used to be all I ever heard of the song, so it would be very annoying.
Yeah, that time spent just sitting there to listen through it to get to the good part, definitely not worth it when you realize you have 120 hours worth of stuff to do.
Good call. Very good call. Man, I kind of want to play that game again. But I really want to play Persona 4 again, too, and Persona 4 Golden's coming out, I don't.
It's such a sinkhole for your time, though.
I don't even own a sinkhole for my time and money. I don't even own a Vita yet, and I know I'm gonna end up buying one for that game. I just don't. There's gotta be deals after Christmas, right? Those things ain't gonna sell. So I keep telling Micah, he won't listen to me. He's probably already bought that white Vita. I tried to stop him. I did what I could. Fighting a good fight.
I did hear you trying to talk him out of it.
Trying, but he sent me a text message the other day. I was like, man, I'm showing great willpower not buying that white Vita. I'm like, stay strong, buddy. He's not good. You know he's going to do it. It's only a matter of time.
It's sad, but true.
But I'm the same way. I'm probably going to buy one when Persona 4 Golden comes out, even though I know that thing's going to be cheaper after Christmas. Oh, darn it. Dang you, Sony. All right, song 3. Play that for you right now. Oh man, Shannon, that song, just listen to it right there. It's getting on my nerves.
Somebody needs to oil that squeaky wheel.
I know, right? I don't know why squeaky wheel means, it's like okay, you got a xylophone, you got a harp, you got the tambourine, and got a rusty wheel. I don't know how he snuck into the orchestra. Somebody tell that guy to go away.
That was some pretty bad music.
It's pretty bad music, but from a game I really enjoy. And the game is Resident Evil 5. Now, a lot of people are not crazy about Resident Evil 5. And I suppose I can understand some of the arguments, but it's a more action-y Resident Evil 4, which Resident Evil 4 was a fantastic game. I don't think anyone will argue that. But it's not Resident Evil as in the same way that Resident Evil and Resident Evil 2 and Resident Evil 3 are Resident Evil. You know, it's not really. Resident Evil 4 was scary. But Resident Evil 5, you know, was even less scary, I guess, so.
I can agree. I don't think I ever ran out of ammo playing through RE5.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think there was ever a point where I was really just nervous, hand-sweating, playing the game.
So. Yeah. I don't think I ever completely ran out of ammo. I ran out of ammo for maybe some guns.
Well, but yeah, but you never got to a point. I can distinctively remember in RE2 and RE4, getting to a point where I had nothing but my knife.
Yeah, I definitely think there's, I think the game is programmed to be that way, because there's certainly, like, there's a point where you end up fighting, like, two cave trolls, and I don't know what they're really called. I call them cave trolls, because that's what they look like. But there's, like, a bunch of chests, like, right after that. It seems like that fight is, like, it seems the game is dynamic. It knows how much ammo you have, and it, like, scales the bosses appropriately. There's a lot going on with Resident Evil 4 that's pretty awesome. But, this is not Resident Evil 4. This is Resident Evil 5, and this is the squeaky wheel pig bat music. That's what I like to call it. Or rather, what I hate to call it, because I don't like the song. But anyway, yeah, those are some annoying songs, but from games I do enjoy.
Round 2!
Round 2's title is First. This is a round, Shelby, that you actually wrote a few years ago, and we're just kind of pulling out of the woodworks with Tony not being here tonight. So, you think you could give us a little bit of an introduction to this before I start reading off some questions?
I certainly can. So, the idea behind this round is each one of these questions have to do with the first of something, like the first game in the series, the first game to achieve some sort of landmark in video gaming history. So, every one of these games are the first to do with something, but what? You'll have to hear the question to find out exactly why.
Gotcha. Alright, well, let's start off this round with question 4. This time traveling game was the first to require the DualShock controller.
The DualShock, man. I don't even own a DualShock. I have a DualShock 2. I have several DualShock 2s, actually. I got some DualShock 3s. Don't have a DualShock 1.
No, I don't even think there was a DualShock 1 for the PlayStation 2. I think it was boxed with the DualShock 2.
Yeah, it came with the DualShock 2. I don't even know what the difference between the DualShock 1 and 2 are. I know the DualShock 3's got the 6-axis in it, and it's wireless, and it's got the weird trigger buttons. I don't know what the difference is between 2 and 3. I guess for the DualShock 2, the buttons are pressure sensitive, probably. I guess that's the difference. Maybe there's some others. I'm not sure.
But that definitely narrows it down. This has to be a PS1 game.
It does have to be a PS1 game, and I actually have a demo of this game that I think I've never played, unless I put it in my PS2 just for the heck of it one time for probably about 10 seconds. But I've never played it, because like I said, don't have a DualShock. But this game is Ape Escape.
Okay.
Time-traveling monkey with a hat that makes you smart, and you make other hats to make other monkeys smart, and you go in the past, and you try to take over the world. It's kind of like Planet of the Apes, except with hats.
I played an Ape Escape game on the PSP, but I don't really remember what the title was.
It's become quite a franchise at this point. I don't know. Surely they're still making Ape Escape games, aren't they? I don't know. Sony is weird. They'll, like, have a franchise go for a while, then it'll just kind of die down. Like, Sly Cooper. Whatever happened to Sly Cooper?
Oh, yeah. There were a bunch of games for the PS2, but I don't think I've ever seen anything come out on the PS3.
Man, remember when... Yeah. Sad days.
Question 5. What was the first game in the unfinished Atari 2600 Sword Quest series?
Ooh, you ever played the Sword Quest series there, Shannon?
No, sir.
You don't know anything about the Sword Quest series?
Not a clue.
Well, allow me to explain. So the Sword Quest series was something Atari did back in the 80s. Maybe even was it 80s or 70s? Probably the 80s. Had to be the 80s.
Okay, wait a minute. Is this the game where it had a real-world challenge where if somebody completed something in the game, there were prizes that were given out?
Ah, there you go. Now it's ringing a bell. Yes, this is exactly true. Each one of these games had a prize associated with it. So the games are like big puzzles. And, you know, trying to play those games now, not knowing the story, you would think the game is broken. Could you, like, go through a door and it just, like, you know, the screen will just flash all kinds of crazy colors. You'll be in another room that's, like, identical but a different color. Go through a door, identical, different color. And you're like, well, what is going on? How is this a game? Thing is, if you go through those doors enough times, you go through the right way in the maze, eventually, like, it'll show numbers on the screen and stuff like that. And you're like, what's this mean? Well, for this game we're speaking of here, which is Sword Quest Earthworld, by the way, the first game in the series, it'll tell you, like, okay, it'll say, like, 2215, and you're like, what does that mean? Well, it turns out if you go to, like, page 22 in the manual, and it comes with, like, it came in the past with this cool little comic book. If you go to page 22 and look at panel 5 or whatever, there'll be, like, words hidden in the thing, in the panel. So, like, you put those words together, and it spells out a secret message. And the message is, be sure to drink your Ovaltine. No, I'm just kidding.
Nice throwback.
Thank you. I'll do what I can. But, you know, it was cool like that. And each one of these games had, like, a huge cash prize associated with them. And, like, real things. Like, one was, like, a golden goblet. One was, like, a diamond-encrusted crown. One was, like, some sort of, like, golden sword. I forget what the prizes were. But these were, like, you know, solid gold or, like, jewel-encrusted items. Because Atari was just rolling in the money back in those days before the game crash. And they were able to just give these things away. But Sword Quest and, Earthworld and Fireworld were the only two games that there was three games they actually made. There was supposed to be a game of, I think, a series of four or five games. I can't remember exactly. But Earthworld, Fireworld, and did Waterworld ever come out, or was that only planned? I cannot remember. But basically, long story short, all the prizes were never necessarily claimed because they didn't make the games, but the prizes existed because Atari had, you know, showed off real pictures of these things, so rumor has it that the dude that was running Atari or whatever just took the prizes and went home.
Probably you find it at a pawn shop somewhere.
Yeah, no kidding. But we'll never really know the true story, I guess. But yeah, those are kind of some more games. It's a really cool deal of history. So go up, you know, go to Wikipedia and type in Sword Quest, people. Learn something. It's a pretty cool story.
Man, I wish more games would do that though, like where it had a necessity for the paperwork that came with it. You know, I mean, there was a game that Level 5 did with what's that anime studio? Studio Ghibli.
Yeah.
Recently, that required the huge spellbook. Man, I wish that came to America. Man, I'd be all over that.
Yeah, there was and you may remember this. You were there at OVGE this year. There was a dude had a booth set up and was just devoted to old time text adventures.
And he had all those games set up.
Yeah.
Huge.
Like gigantic huge maps and stuff. Like, yeah, and all that cool stuff. And I talked to the guy for, you know, about 5-10 minutes or whatever. And he's like, yeah, games don't do that kind of stuff nowadays, but this kind of stuff is awesome. And, you know, I thanked him for bringing it and all that and kind of talked to him a little bit. But yeah, I mean, manuals don't even exist anymore. I mean, I forgot to ever mention this on the OkieCast, but Resident Evil 6, it doesn't even have the, like, warning label and stuff in there, the little insert. It's written on the back of the insert for the cover. So, which is, you know, might as well put it there. It's got to go somewhere. You put something on the back of that paper, but it's just kind of like, man, why is there even... It's like barely even need for a case anymore.
Yeah.
And the case barely exists anymore because they're like recycled things and they got big holes in them, so...
See, some of them are actually using that really well, like Kid Icarus Uprising had all those really cool pictures on the inside in the holes.
Yeah, that's a clever use of it, but... I guess it's just we're slowly seeing retail games fade away, I guess, huh?
Alright, question 6. Crash Bandicoot was the first PlayStation game developed by what studio?
Ooh, going back to PlayStation again. Crash Bandicoot. Man, I got fond memories of Crash, dude. I bet you do too, right? You mentioned Crash earlier.
Oh, yeah. Time Warp.
Yeah, Time Warp, yeah. Crash Bandicoot 2, Cortex Strikes Back, that is still on my top 10 games of all time list. That is a great platformer. I mean, it's like got you run forward, you run into the screen, you run side scrolling. You know, it does everything. It's like just the controls are good. You got double jumps, you got belly flops, you got attacks, the enemies. You know, it's just like it's just kind of like what Mario. I kind of want to say what Mario would be in three dimensions because you know Mario 3D Land and Mario 64 kind of say hello, but I don't know. It was just like. It's the best example of, like, a 3D platformer I can think of. I guess it isn't Mario, because, you know, Nintendo's kind of good at making that stuff, but... Man, that's a good game!
It really is. All of the Crash games were really good. Even, they had that Crash, what was it? They had their own, kart racing game.
CTR, Crash Time Racing, yeah.
That was even cool.
Those were good games, yeah. Sometimes I want to just go back and pick them up because I don't own the first Crash. I have 2 and 3, and I have 4, which wasn't made by the studio we're speaking of. Oh, by the way, the studio is Naughty Dog. I guess we should probably answer that question before we get sidetracked or forget. But yeah, Crash 1, 2, and 3 and the Crash Time Racing games are all Naughty Dog, but I think the Crash Time Racing games are Naughty Dog. Honestly, I don't know at this point. They probably were. But after that, Naughty Dog was kind of like, okay, we're done, you know, we've done our 3 games, we're going to move on to our next thing. And Sony kind of kept Crash around, and did Traveler's Tales make Crash 4, which was called Wrath of Cortex? And then I think Activision owns Crash now? I can't believe Sony doesn't still have Crash, that's so sad.
So wait, Activision owns Crash?
I believe so. I mean, I think that was Mind Over Mutant was the last Crash game that I remember, and I'm pretty sure Activision put it. You know what? Maybe Konami has Crash now. It's something weird like that. It's somebody you wouldn't expect.
That's crazy.
I don't even know. I don't even know at this point. But all I know is Crash isn't going to be in PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, which is a crying shame. Because he would be... I mean, he was like a big Sony mascot for a long time, and then he's just...
Oh, yeah.
Not even on the list. So sad, but you can be a big daddy from Bioshock, so let's get our priorities straight here, I guess.
Round 3!
Don't fall asleep on me here, Shannon, but round 3 is nap time.
Ah, I see what you did there.
Yeah, wait, what'd I do there?
Nap time. Don't fall asleep on.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. So yeah. These are questions all about sleeping in video games. So pretty straightforward, pretty simple, you know. So here we go. Question 7. After eating a naughty, This hero dons a sleeping cap and takes a short nap, leaving him defenseless for a short period of time.
A naughty.
A naughty, yeah. N-O-D-D-Y, not N-A-U. That's not... Keep it PG here. This is an adorable power-up, and sadly, it doesn't do much in some games. Here in the recent games, it actually kind of regains you health, given the right situation. But I remember, like, in the first game where this power appeared, it didn't do anything, and I kept doing it, thinking, this has got to do something, I just got to figure it out. But it turns out it does nothing. And the character that eats a naughty, who's a character that likes to eat naughty things... I told myself to keep it PG there. Kirby. Naughty's the little Kirby enemy that has a little sleeping cap on. He's kind of always got the, like, droopy face. And you eat him, and Kirby falls asleep. And it's adorable. But I'm pretty sure in Squeak Squad and Return to Dreamland, it regains health, which I always kind of thought it would. But apparently they didn't, you know, Nintendo didn't think about that till way later.
That's still pretty cool. I mean, if you plan it right, you've got yourself in a section where you don't have anybody coming at you. Recover a little bit.
Yeah, it's just kind of a cute thing. Like, I remember in Kirby's Adventure, I kept eating. Like, I've got to do something. I just don't know how to do it. But drove myself crazy trying to find everything in that game. Question 8. Special Agent Morgan has dreams which help him investigate a murder mystery in this cult classic. Special Agent Morgan, ring any bells? You meet any FBI agents today, Shannon?
No, I haven't met any FBI agents today.
You sure? They were asking me about you.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you're getting too many bargains, dude. Government's coming after you. They want you to fix the budget.
It's not good. They weren't supposed to figure out my plan.
Wait, what's the plan?
I can't tell you the plan. If I tell you the plan, everybody knows the plan.
I promise. Just tell me. I'll edit it out.
I'm not going to. I think we should just tell people that the game you're talking about is Deadly Premonition.
The game is Deadly Premonition, and you're trying to change the subject on me. Don't think I'm going to forget. But yeah, have you played Deadly Premonition, dude? Because if you haven't, you should.
No, I have not played
And this and by meaning I should, I mean you shouldn't, because the game is horrible, but the game is awesome. So you know how I say Castlevania 2 is both horrible and awesome at the same time?
Yes, I believe I remember that.
This is even more like that, because the gameplay... is just this side of broken, but the storytelling and the characters are like completely serious, 100% not joking. They are awesome. I'm a huge fan of this game. There is a director's cut coming out soon, and I cannot wait to play through this game a fourth time. Take it back. Go through this game a seventh time.
Wow.
Is that right? No, this will be the eighth time. I've been through it seven times. This will be the eighth time. I love this game.
What system is this for?
It's for 360 right now. It came out brand new for $20, and the director's cut's coming out on PS3, so you could probably find it for like $8.
Now the problem is finding a PS3 around under $250.
Yeah, you could probably get the 360 version pretty cheap, but it's a very good game. I really enjoy it, ironically so, and then kind of seriously so as well. So, question 9. After a busy day of fishing and seashell collecting, your character returns to his or her home and falls asleep to save in what alliterative handheld release? I think you might know the answer to this one.
I may know the answer to this one, and I may have put weeks and weeks and weeks of my own life into this game.
And still putting weeks and weeks of your life into this game.
Shh.
Spring a leak, what was that?
Don't talk about that.
Oh, well, you know, the CIA was talking to me earlier today about your Animal Crossing addiction. So, you know, maybe expect to hear from them as well.
Just because I enjoy my time in Animal Crossing Wild World does not mean the government needs to be involved.
You know, that's the only way you're going to ever get better, dude. We had to step in and do something. But
you know,
yes.
What we need to do? We need to get the government on Tom Nook and get him investigated.
Dude, Tom Nook for president.
Don't say that. That's the worst thing ever.
But it's also the best thing ever.
Gosh, I would owe him more bills.
Hey, I guarantee you, he'd fix the budget. And by fix it, I mean fix it where he gets all the money, but totally, you know?
Oh yeah, you want that health insurance? It'll cost you 9 million bells.
This year, when you vote for president, vote for the bandit candidate, Tom Nook. 2012, whatever year it is, I don't even know.
Round 4!
Alright, now it's time for the hot seat. Shelby, you're out of luck this week.
When do I ever have luck on a hot seat?
I don't know, but you're certainly not going to get any mercy this time.
Oh no!
After those darn dirty tricks you pulled with Animal Crossing Wild World, yeah. It's time for some payback.
I just kind of remembered that.
Oh, you will see, sir.
So I'm sitting in the hot seat, and normally Tony was going to be asking me some Tekken 3 questions for the whole Epic Mickey contest we got running, but obviously Tony's not here, so Shannon instead has prepared 3 Tekken 3 hot seat questions for myself, and I'm going to do my best to answer them. Now, I have played Tekken 3 a lot, and I mean a lot in my day, but it's been a long time since I played it, and I don't really necessarily know a lot about the details of Tekken, but we're going to find out exactly how much I do know, I guess, right now. So, here we go.
All right, your first hot seat question. Tekken 3 was released in Japan on March 26th of 1998. In what month and year was it released in Europe?
No idea. No, you even said Europe. I thought you were going to say in North America. I don't even know that. This is the easy question? By the way, the first question is the easy question. Second question is the medium question. Third question is the hard question. Now we return you back to your easy question. I have no idea.
I told you payback. Sir.
Month and year of the European release of Tekken 3? Are you insane?
Just take a guess.
Okay, read the question for me again, please.
Tekken 3 was released in Japan on March 26th of 1998. In what month and year was it released in Europe?
Was that the arcade release or the console release for PlayStation?
Sorry, I should have been more specific. This is the PlayStation 1 version.
All right, March of 98 for Japan. You want month and year for Europe. Ah, sheesh. August of 99.
You are incorrect, sir.
What a surprise.
It was October of
1998. It was like 15 months off. Great. No, not that many. I was less than a year off because I said August, so I went the wrong way with it. Whatever, dude. Easy question. It's not easy at all. The only thing that was easy about it is that I just might as well not even answered it.
And just think, the questions only get
harder. They get harder from here! What could you possibly ask me?
Alright, your second hot seat question. This is a medium question.
I bet it is.
What character appears as a secret character in the console version of Tekken 3 and has not appeared in any subsequent title?
Gun. G-O-N. He's a little orange dinosaur, and he's my favorite character in the game. Well, one of my favorite characters in the game. I know that one.
You are correct, sir.
He is from a Japanese manga. He's a little dinosaur. I forget his backstory. He's like, I don't even know how he ended up in the game. I guess just because he was popular in Japan at the time. But yeah, that was a rare instance where the console version blew the arcade version out of the water, because Tekken 3 on PlayStation has like more characters, more modes, more everything. That's a good game. But yeah, Gun was the character. Dr. Boskanovich, or Boskanovich, I'm not sure how you say it. He was a unlockable character in Tekken 3 as well, but I think he has been in a game since then, so that doesn't apply to him. But yeah, I wish Gun was in Tekken Tag or Tekken Tag 2. Now, I'm not sure if it's, you say Gun or Gone. It's spelled G-O-N, but I'm pretty sure it says Gun in the game just because they use the same audio clip as Gun Jack, and they just cut off the Jack part.
They use what they got it.
I got one. I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah, you're 1 point up. Your answer about the Dr. Boskanovich, he was actually in the Tekken Tag Bowling.
Yeah, he was in the bowling mode. He's standing to the left side of the screen. He's not playable, though, so.
Okay. This, my good sir, is your hard question.
Oh, gosh.
If you put the Tekken 3 PlayStation 1 disc into a CD player, or activate the CD player function on your PlayStation 1. There is a specific track that will play. What then, Shelby, is the track number or the name of the track that will play? And you get a bonus point if you have the track length.
I like how the bonus is like, if you know exactly the timestamp of this song. Okay, well, I've probably at some point had the game in my system and accidentally turned on the CD player, but this was probably back in like 1999. And I don't know if you know this, that was been like 12 years ago at this point. 13 years, maybe. Let me crunch the numbers real quick. Okay, so you want a track number, you want the song title, and you want the length.
The length is for the bonus points. You can give me the track number or the name, and you get a bonus point if you have the track length.
Okay, well, I'm going to say the track length is a minute 25, the track number is number 3, and the title is Tekken, open parentheses, BGM, intro, close parentheses.
You are incorrect, sir.
On all accounts?
On all accounts.
Crap. Man, wouldn't that have been amazing if I just like would have stumbled into it like Tekken open parentheses, BGM, intro, close parentheses? If I would have got that, that would have been amazing.
The track is actually track 2. It's 2 minutes and 37 seconds long. And the song title is The King of Iron Fist Tournament 3, Enter the Tekken.
Yeah, that's the song that plays when you beat the game for the credits. All right. Well, yeah, there was no way I was getting... Wait a minute. You asked me a hard question about a song title. Is this like the Mirror the Wild World thing?
Maybe.
You are sinister, sir.
I told you payback.
I almost didn't catch that either. Man. All right, I guess I deserve that.
You want to hit me with KK Slider songs? I'm going to hit you with Tekken music.
It totally hit me this week, too, by the way. You know how Miku Hatsune and, like, Rin and Lin and Luca, they're all Vocaloids? Mm-hmm. KK is totally a Vocaloid, dog.
Dude.
Yeah, I know, right? Think about it. He's a Vocaloid. He's a dog. I'm the smartest man in the world. Okay, so that, ladies and gentlemen, is the question block for you this week. We don't need Tony for no question block. But if you want to, like me, sit in the hot seat, or if you have some questions that, you know, you want to write and submit to the show for us to read, for everyone to hear, send those entries or send us an email to podcast@nintendo-yoki.com. And if you're sending in your hot seat submission, let us know the category you want. We will quiz you on anything, be it a video game character, a video game franchise, any sort of like specific video game. Pretty much if it's related to video games, we can quiz you on it. You know, we'll hit you with a medium, easy, and a hard question. Probably not in that order. But if you want to, you know, do all the social networking thing as we do around here, we got a Facebook group, we got a Twitter account. We got the YouTube account. We got a forum, you know. So, you know, look at those things up, like twitter.com/Nintendo_Oki. You know, I could sit here and tell you all these URLs, but honestly, you're probably just going to go to the site and click on a button. It's way easier than reading off your URL. So, you know, that's what we do around here. You know, Tony's going to go through the trouble of saying all these things, and, you know, I'm just going to streamline it. That's what I do. You know, come to think about it, he hasn't been putting the tags for the social network stuff on the question block. I don't even know. Maybe he just kind of ends the show. Like, I'm just going to end the show kind of right here. So, Shannon, thank you very much for being on the question block with me. Thank you for quizzing me on the tech and hot seatness.
You're welcome.
Good job.
Maybe you're not welcome.
Good job on writing trivia questions. You stumped me. Way to go. And you got your revenge, so you'll probably sleep a little easier tonight.
I feel pretty good.
I will ask you one last question, though. Do you have any questions or comments for this podcast?
Every day, young life. June day soon.
There you go, folks. We'll see you in 7 days.